All right, so you guys got your Bibles open to Matthew. Okay? There's a couple Bibles sitting around for you, so grab them. Otherwise, you can look up. It's Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we're looking at verses 9 to 13. Matthew 9, 9 to 13. Something cool about Matthew. Not so much cool, but it's interesting, is that when I started studying this guy named Matthew, and I wanted to look up all the different places you could find stuff about Matthew and get all this information on him, you know, there's only like five verses in the entire Bible, or there are four, like four or five verses in the entire Bible that even have the name Matthew in it. Like, that's it. That's all there is in the whole Bible about this guy named Matthew. Isn't that crazy? And you're like, oh, poor guy, that's all he got in the Bible. Dude, he made the Bible. It's awesome. He's not mentioned a whole lot. And so, but that's going to tell us something really important about this guy we're going to see later on in like week three. What?
Did he write the book Matthew?
He did. He wrote the Gospel of Matthew. He did. Yeah, because sometimes books that have a name, like Paul wrote it to them, you're right. But this one, he actually wrote himself. So, correct. Good observation. All right, so let's read it together. Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And so there's, I think, three really, really important reasons why when we look at this, Matthew was somebody that you probably would not guess would be called by Jesus Christ. He's one of these guys where you would look at his life and you would look at the choices that he makes and you're like, why would Jesus ever call Matthew? Like, what did Matthew have that made Jesus look at him and go, hey, you, sitting over there. Yeah, the one behind the table, taking everybody's money. Yeah, no, there's not really somebody there, guys.
Wow.
It's an illustration. You're like, ooh, fright night, we're all scared. No, he's like, you, Matthew, the guy sitting right there. He's like, get up and follow me. Like, why? Just like he's walking by this random person, and he's like, hey, you, I think you need to follow me. But you know what's even crazier? This random stranger sitting back there is like, okay, and he gets up and he follows Jesus. That's incredible to me. How many of you, if you didn't know me and I just walked by and was like, hey, follow me. Like, that's just, that, okay, well, okay, granted, that's kind of creepy. All right, we went in a bad place. Moving on. That works better with high school. Okay. Anyway, it's still a big thing for this guy to not even know Jesus and to get up and follow him. But it's even crazier that Jesus would even want to have anything to do at all with Matthew. I'm not giving you chocolate till the end next time. Note to self. Okay.
What?
I don't know. Okay. So,
weird.
Let's tear it apart. First reason. Are you ready, Austin, for the very first reason why I think Matthew wasn't a very good candidate to be like one of Jesus' followers? Here it is. Look at verse 9. He says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. The tax collector's booth. So here's the first thing. You know Matthew was a traitor.
No way.
Lady, don't make me have to talk to you. Matthew was a traitor. He was a traitor to his people. And we're going to look at a couple reasons why we know Matthew's a traitor, okay? If he's a tax collector, back in the day, tax collectors were chosen by the Romans, all right? So you have like the Roman Empire, and they're going around to all these places, and they're like conquering them, taking them over. Okay, so Rome's like building this empire, and they'll go into like your country, say like you're a queen of like your own country. Rome comes in, and they're like, kill everybody. Okay, now guess what? You're ours. But we'll let you be free as long as you pay us taxes. And you can kind of rule yourself. We'll just kind of sit around and make sure you're doing a good job, but you'll pretty much be free. But you got to pay us for your freedom. Okay, so they kind of own you, but like, not really, because they don't really care that much about you. They just want you to pay them taxes. So, guess what they do? They're like, okay, Roman, you are now a tax collector. And so I'm sending you, my faithful Roman, and I'm going to send you over here to, since you're already part of their country, we're going to give you this title, and you get to take all the money from your queen and send it to us. And all the people in your country need to pay us, and you're in charge of that. So you make sure all your people pay us, and then we'll be good. And guess what? All your people are going to look at you, and what are they going to think? You traitor. You traitor. You're one of us. Why are you taking all our money and giving it to the Romans? Right? No, that's not a real question. You guys need to learn the whole rhetorical concept. Not quite working here. So, now let's look at Matthew real quick. Look at his life, okay? First of all, Matthew, he was a Jew. And he's living in, like, where the Jews are right now. He's living amongst his people. And guess what? He's from a pretty cool family. All right, his family is, like, prestigious in the Jewish community. His dad's name was Alpheus. That's a cool name, right? His dad's name's Alpheus. His mom was Mary, and possibly even related to the Virgin Mary. Well, not really the Virgin Mary, but Mary, the mother of Jesus, okay? She could have been related. There's possibilities there. So he's from, like, this really high line. We know that because he's from Galilee, and his birth name was Levi. Was Levi. Now, we've talked before about the Levites. We know that Levi, what are they? What's so special about the tribe of Levi? They're priests. Yeah, they're the priestly order. Okay? They were taken and God set them aside to, like, lead the people spiritually. So Matthew grew up with all this culture and his family were great. They like followed all the Jewish rules and the law and they knew all this stuff and they taught him that growing up. And Matthew's name was even Levi. And you know what Levi means? Union. It means union, like unity. Like, this is the guy who's supposed to bring unity to people. Like, he was named for that. He has this great name, this great education, and you know what Matthew's doing? Is he unifying his people? He's taxing them. He's betraying his own people, so they're looking at him as a traitor, and they're like, but Matthew, you were educated as a Jew. You went through our education system. You learned your past, you learned your history, you learned all about us. You should be proud of us. What do you guys do when you start school every morning?
I brush my teeth.
You pledge allegiance. What do we teach you that's so important? Yeah, to be have allegiance to your country, to be loyal to your country. Like Matthew went through that, and he learned allegiance to his country. You guys are really talkative. I need you to pay attention, okay? Woo-hoo! Pay attention up here. Shh. Chatty over here.
Okay.
So Matthew was raised in all of these good values. He was raised knowing all this stuff about his people, and yet, he's still trading his people.
Hi.
I'm going to have to move people. Like, this feels like school almost. Like, really? Are you getting, can leaders sit by talking to people? Thank you. No more chocolate ever. Okay. So, Matthew gets called by Jesus. His name's still Levi, right? So Jesus is walking by. He really says, hey, Levi! This guy who's like sitting at a tax collector's table. Follow me. He follows him. He gets saved. And guess what? He gets a new name now. A Christian name. And his Christian name's Matthew. You know what Matthew means? Anyone know?
No.
Do you want to get chocolate?
No. Gift of God. Matthew means gift of God. Okay? Well, when we read the other Gospels, you know how all the Gospels are like tell basically the same stories? We read the other Gospels. Guess what they refer to Matthew as? No?
Oh, God.
Levi. They use his old name. Why would they use his old name Levi when now he's got a Christian name?
Because they hated the name Matthew.
No? Not quite. You know? Any ideas?
Because Matthew was, they wanted to use his birth name.
Well, we're going to, could be. They did want to use his birth name. What?
Because Matthew was too high of a name for him because he was
insane. Ah. They wanted to show the difference in his life. Where this awesome guy who's writing a gospel now, who loves Jesus Christ, who's one of his disciples and apostles, used to be Levi, the corrupt, sinful tax collector. And so even this guy, Levi, could be changed by Christ. And it's very unlikely for him to ever be called. Why would Jesus want him? You know? And so they wanted to show that through their gospels. So at the end of all this, basically, he's a traitor. Let me see. Where are you? There you are. I was looking for you. Come stand here real quick, will you? Okay. We know that this is Caitlin. Okay, so Caitlin, do you like the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah.
All right, I noticed your Dolphins shirt as you walked in, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to, yeah. So I called you up here. So Caitlin is a Dolphins fan. Is your family happen to be like avid Dolphins fans?
Yeah.
Like from when you were little, you've always known like Dolphins, go Dolphins. What if, I mean, just saying, if I brought my big foam finger that says, Go Patriots, number one fan, and I made you wear it right here in front of everybody, what do you think your family would say?
Matt would probably run up here and be like, No,
Kate! Yeah, Matt would pretty much disown you, right? He'd be like, you're not my sister anymore if you wear that. Like, you're pretty passionate. Since you're a little kid, you were raised that the Dolphins are the team, and they would pretty much be like, you cannot wear that Patriots foam finger, right? You can sit down, thank you. Well, Matthew's kind of in the same situation. Matthew has lived his whole life being raised by these awesome parents who have raised him to love God and to know the rules that God has set up to live a good life and to love his people. And then all of a sudden, he gets to this point in his life where he's like, nah, not for me. And he becomes a tax collector and he becomes a traitor to his own people. Does that sound like a guy that Jesus is going to say, hey, you sound like a good disciple. Let me pick you.
Yes.
Does?
Because he's Jesus and he knows me.
Good, you're getting ahead of me though. You're stealing my punchline. Okay, thank you. You're very smart. So, he is Jesus, you're right. But to me, just thinking of that, he wouldn't be my first choice, okay? Look at verse 10. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Now, as a tax collector, guess what you're allowed to do?
Take money. Get to whip them.
Well, you could take money. Some of you were right. And so what you would do is, Rachel, yes. Rachel, we'll go back to you. So you're the queen again, and these are all your people, and I'm a tax collector, and I'm going to go up, and I'm going to say, hey, Kayla. Now, in my mind, the emperor told me, okay, the tax is $5. So I'm thinking, how am I going to make some money off this? I'm going to say, Kayla, you need to give me $25. That's the tax. $25? So she gives me $5 and I give it to the emperor. And guess how much I keep for myself?
$20
right there in my pocket. Boom. See how fast you can make some money? And you know what? If she says no, guess what I can do? I say, Roman soldier, she's not paying her taxes. Bad stuff happens to her. Boom. They don't ask questions. If I say she needs a beating, she hasn't paid, they'll beat her. It's just like that. You have no choice. You have to pay your tax if he says it. And this guy is your own, like, from your own people. He's from your own tribe, your own village, probably your own family, and he's doing this to everybody. Does that sound like someone who Christ would call? Does that sound like someone who you would call if you were Jesus? It just doesn't make sense to me that this guy is looked at in his list, you know, like job skills, like this is what I can do. I'm a traitor, I'm a liar, I'm a cheater, I steal from my people. I'd be a great apostle. Like, no, that doesn't make any sense at all. I was in Guatemala this one time, or like living there. Okay.
Is it the boiled
and
chicken?
No, it's different. And there was this lady who worked in the orphanage, okay? And she was like a nanny. This team comes of like Americans and they're all there, us, like they're over there, and they're there for like 12 days or something. And the first night, one of the ladies goes to her suitcase and she's looking for her shoes. And she's like, that's weird. I'm missing my left shoe. Like, I can't find it anywhere. They're like, you got a messy room? Probably just lost it. Probably under the bed. The next night, another lady from a different room goes, I'm missing my left shoe. And we're like, this is funny. I bet the orphans are like playing with your shoes and like losing them on the side of the mountain or something. Like, that's awesome. So then the next night, two other ladies are missing their left shoe. We get four missing shoes, all different shoes, all left foot. And we're like, what's going on? Who would steal like left foot shoes? So this lady is known for like being a thief. But even then, we're like, you know, we're not going to like accuse her because we've caught her in some lies and she wasn't very trustworthy. And we're like, we can't ask her. Because how can we prove who would steal a left shoe? Well, that would be fine, except the lady only had a left leg. Yeah, she only had one leg, and so she would like hop around all the time. And guess what? We asked her. She stole all the shoes. The one-legged lady had stole all the left shoes, and I was like, look, the one-legged lady. We're like, did you steal the shoes? She's like, no. We're like, they're left shoes. You only have a left leg. Like, how do you think we don't know that you're stealing the shoes? Who else can just wear one shoe around or two left shoes? It makes no sense at all. Yes, sir.
Did she have a fake leg on, or she just...
No, it was just not there. She would literally hop around on her left foot. So she's going around stealing everybody's left shoe. I loved it. So anyway, I thought it was more humorous than you did. But so she really did. And then we found out she had stolen all the left shoes, but by the way. But guess what? After she had admitted to that, we found out that she had stolen all these shoes. What do you think happened to her? She got fired, obviously. Do you think everybody like walked up to her and like trusted her? Hey, could you watch my purse for me with all this? Like, ladies weren't like asking her to watch their money. You know what I mean? You don't trust somebody like that. Well, here's a question. If Matthew's going around stealing from people, how many people are going to trust him? Nobody. Do you think that a disciple is going to be very useful if you can't trust him?
No.
I mean, he's the guy who's going to minister to you. He's the guy who's going to serve you. He's the guy who you're supposed to be able to trust with things. And he's this untrustworthy, lying cheater who is also a traitor to his people, is being called by Jesus to get up and follow him. I don't get that. And look what he says in the last couple of verses here. He says, verse 11, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. So go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So basically, you get this picture. And Jesus is sitting up in Matthew's house now, because Matthew got up, followed him, got saved. Come back to my house! So they're all sitting around in his house, sitting at the table, eating, talking. And people walk by and they're like, whoa. And then the Pharisees, and we've been talking about them, they're like, rules, 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 do it this way or you're wrong. They walk up and they're like, what are they doing up there with those guys? And they look up and they see Matthew and they know his reputation. And then they see all of Matthew's friends. All the people that Matthew hangs out with, the things that Matthew does with these people. Now these are guys who are also tax collectors. Some of them are probably politicians. And they're all into different things. They're about power. They're about drinking and having these crazy parties, and they'd all get together and do whatever they want. And they were known for that. So you'd walk by their house and you'd see them having this crazy party and be like, oh, look at what they're doing. And now all of a sudden you look up there and they're not partying. It doesn't say they're partying. It doesn't say they're doing any of the stuff it mentions in other places. And guess who's sitting right in the middle of them? Jesus. So they're at Matthew's house and Jesus is sitting there. I wonder why they're not partying. I wonder why they're not doing all the other things that they would do otherwise. And I think they're so captivated at the fact that they have Christ sitting there in their living room that none of that other stuff even seems like it matters. They're so enthralled that Jesus is here. This guy who just blows our mind. We can't even, like, wow, I can't stop talking to him. And they're so enthralled by Christ that all the other stuff that they used to do when they would go to Matthew's house, it doesn't say they're doing it. And so all these guys are walking by and they see him and they're like, why are you there with him? And you know what they notice about Matthew? The people that he hangs out with. The people he hangs out with. You think if you hang out with people that are into all sorts of bad decisions that you're not going to end up doing that with them? Now we have to be careful with this because the Bible calls us, Christ, God calls us to go to people who don't believe in Him. That's our job. The Great Commission tells us go, talk to people, tell them about Jesus. But it doesn't say go do all the things that they do. Don't go participate with them. And Matthew would do that. Matthew wasn't just with them to tell them about Christ. Before, Matthew used to be with them and do all those same things and get dragged into the things that they did. And so there's a big difference there. And now this is a whole different scenario. They're sitting at this table and Jesus Christ is there sharing His love with them. And guess what? All that other stuff they used to do doesn't appear to be happening right now. And so when they look up and they're like, why would you be with them? They do notice something important though. Matthew lived a horrible life surrounded by people that would just drag him down. So he was a traitor, he was a liar, a cheater, and he surrounded himself by the worst crowd you can imagine. These to me don't seem like good qualifications for an apostle, for a disciple of Jesus, for Jesus to walk by and be like, yep, you're the one. Like, why? And I wonder if Matthew even looked back at him and was like, Jesus, are you sure? Like, do you know what I do? Like, what I probably just did last night or this morning? Do you know the decisions I make? And you're choosing me? I'm not sure you want me. I wonder if that went through his head, because I think I would think that if I was Matthew in that situation. And going back to the Dolphins illustration, if Caitlin, you're a good Dolphins fan, right? You yourself, not just like your family, but you actually are. But what if you put on a Patriots shirt and a big Patriots foam finger, and you went down to a Patriots-Dolphins game and sat with all the Patriots fans and started cheering for the Patriots? But you're a Dolphins fan. Would we look at you and be like, she's a Dolphins fan?
No.
Why not?
I know she is.
She's not living it out. She's not doing what a Dolphins fan does. Dolphins fans wear what she's wearing and sit with the Dolphins fans and cheer for the Dolphins. They don't cheer for the other team. They don't put on the other team's shirts. But yet we call ourselves Christians sometimes. And everything about us looks like the world. Everything that we do looks like the world. And we cheer on the world. But yet we're Christians. I don't know about you, but when I look at Matthew, to me, this just doesn't seem like someone that I would call. But I think we can learn some important things about Matthew. He was an unlikely candidate to be an apostle. But you know what? Some of you might be sitting there thinking that same thing, like, Christ can't love me. Do you know what I do? Do you know what I've done? Do you know what my family life looks like? Do you know where I come from? Like, I'm worthless, I'm nothing, and I sin all the time. Jesus can't want me. But then look at Matthew. Why did Jesus want Matthew? You know what the most beautiful verse in the Bible is, I think, is Romans 5:8. I'll read it to you. It says, "But God shows His own love for us in this." You ready for it? For how God shows us His love? "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So while Matthew was still sitting at that table, robbing and stealing from his own people, while he was stealing from them, God walked by. Christ walked by and said, "Follow me. I choose you." In the middle of sin, while he's still at the table sinning, in the process of it, God still chose him. I don't care what you say you've done in your life. I don't care how worthless you feel. You're not. You are precious in the eyes of Christ, and He will look at you and choose you right where you are. You don't have to try to change your entire life around right now and say, "Okay, now I'm ready, God. I'm perfect now. Now you can choose me." The beauty of the gospel is that He chooses you just for being you, right where you are. And you don't have to try to measure up to some rule to please God. You have to surrender to God and just say, "I can't. I can't. Just take me and change me." And when you learn to surrender, that's when He just grabs you and says, "Look, you're mine. Follow me." You don't have to try to be good first. But let me talk to the other ones of you who are in here, and you think you're on the other side of the coin, and you look at other people and go, "God can't want them." And you like to judge them and say, "Look what they must be doing. Look at their Facebook. Look at their text messages. Look at who their friends are." And you judge, they can't be living for God. God can't love them. I want to warn you, you're looking firsthand at who God chooses. Christ loves each and every one of you. And He can choose you right where you are, so don't you dare be judgmental to other people. Because He chose you when you were a sinner. In the middle of your sin. Some of you are still like, "I still don't think He'll choose me." Let me read to you just a couple examples of people who He chose. You know Rahab, you guys know Rahab from Jericho? Who helped like the spies get up? You know what? She was a prostitute. Prostitute. And Moses, who was called to speak to Pharaoh and get his people free from Egypt, he had a speech impediment. He stuttered. And he was called to do that. You know that David, who slayed a giant and became the king of all of Israel, he was just a worthless little shepherd boy from the middle of nowhere. You know that John the Baptist, who led the way, prepared the way for Christ to come, he used to preach naked. He did. Like, woo, he ate locusts. He wore crazy stuff. You know, to top it all off, get this guy. Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. Literally dead in the ground when Christ called him and used him. If Jesus can call and use a dead guy, He can take these dead bodies and put life in them and help us walk in Him. He can call you, no matter who you are or what you've done. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I pray that you take the words, your truth from your word tonight, God, and that those truths would just grab hold in the hearts of these kids tonight. That when they leave here, Lord, they take them with them, and that they would just keep coming up in their heads and they keep thinking about them. Lord, that you would remind them how special they are and how loved they are by the God of the universe. And that Jesus loves them no matter what they've done or are doing. Christ loves them right now. God, help us to live that way. Keep us from judging other people. Help us to point others to you and help us to love you with everything we have. I love you, Lord, in your name.